Amen. John chapter 6, beginning in verse 63. John 6, 63. And Jesus is speaking here, okay? Jesus is speaking. And he says, it is the Spirit, speaking about the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The flesh refers to our, like the old nature, our old tendency we have to want to sin. So that it's not just talking about our body. It's talking about that old nature that wants to lead us the wrong way. It says, the flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. The words that Jesus speaks, they are spirit. They're full of the Holy Spirit, and they work in realms that our eyes cannot see. They are spirit, and they are life. They are life-giving. And then he says in verse 64, but there are some of you who do not believe, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who would betray him. And verse 65, Jesus said, therefore, I've said to you, no one can come to me unless it's been granted to him by my Father. And then verse 66, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. That's one of the sad, I guess, realities of the human condition. And if you've been in church and Christian circles for any length of time, you've seen it. I'm not saying that people, maybe not even, you know, Christian or whatever, but you do sometimes see people come and go. And so Jesus goes on then, and he says this in verse 67. Jesus turns to his 12 and said, are y'all going to go away? And then verse 68, the spokesman for the group. But Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Thank God. And Jesus answered, I'm sorry, verse 69, also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, that means the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Amen. Thank God. This is the message I'd like to share this morning. And, you know, I typically might ask you to repeat after me or say something with me. Ultimately, this has to come from your heart. But I believe for many of you, it will be. And I'll even say this. When I give you the title of the message today, if you can't say the words are true, do you want them to be true? And if you do, then I still would invite you to make that confession with me. It's simply this. I wanted to make it personal. So like I'm talking to the Lord to say, Lord, your words are life to me. Lord, your words are life to me. Jesus said, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. The words of the Lord are spirit-inspired, spirit-empowered, and life-giving. Yes. And today, have you come to that place, like Peter, where you would say, I have nowhere else to go, Lord. There's no one else I can turn to. You and you alone are the words who have eternal life. I'm with you. Lord, your words are life to me. If you believe, would you say it with me? Lord, your words are life to me. And that truth is, I want you to see that applies to all of Scripture. So if you want to just stay there, let me read you these verses, two verses from Deuteronomy 32. Two verses from Deuteronomy chapter 32. We'll put them on the screen. They're found in verses 46 and 47. And the Bible says this, verse 46, and he said to them, this is when Moses finished speaking all the words to Israel, he said to them, set your hearts, this is very important, set your hearts on all, would you say all? All the words which I testify among you today, which you shall command your children to be careful to observe. Again, all the words of this law. For it is not a futile thing for you. Notice, because it is your life. Isn't that right in line with what Jesus said? This is not some empty, futile word. It is your life. It's life-giving. So if we would receive it that way, it is your life, and by this word you shall prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Jordan to possess. Now, God promised Israel a certain spot of geography, the land of Israel. And we're not promised in the New Covenant, in the New Testament, necessarily a piece of land, but we are promised and assured that in Christ every spiritual blessing is ours. And the word of God is what secures those blessings for us. Lord, your words are life to me to receive them that way. And this morning, I wanted to share just a few illustrations because scripture compares itself to certain items. And there, I just want to share five with you. I'll try to make them quick. And there are more, but I wanted to share these because they illustrate how God uses his word, and they also illustrate how we're to live by them. So your words are life to me. They are spirit and they are life. It's not futile. This is important and it's powerful. So here's the first. In fact, I'll tell you real quick all five of them, and then we'll go through them. God's word is a hammer. It's a hammer. It's a light. It's a mirror. It's seed and a sword. Okay? All right, it's a hammer, light, a mirror, seed, and sword. I just put them in alphabetical order to help me. So here it is, Jeremiah 23, 29. Let's look at the first one. Jeremiah 23, 29. God is speaking, and he says, is not my word like a fire? I didn't even include that one, all right? Is not my word like a fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? So how is the word of God like a hammer? Is it because he's just angry with us? He's just going to come, he's Thor, and he's going to, no. No, it's because our hearts can become hardened with pride. Pride will harden our heart. And resentment will harden our heart. And bitterness will harden our heart. And unforgiveness will harden our heart. And the Bible says today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. So the word of God, if we will receive it this way, because we can be like Pharaoh and we can hear the word of the Lord, we can just get harder. And that's not what the Lord wants. He wants to use his word like a hammer and to hammer away that hardness, hammer away and chisel away at that bitterness and chisel away at that pride and chisel away at that resentment so that our heart becomes open and then we can receive the word so that it produces something of Christ-likeness in us. But he sometimes has to break through that hardness. So he doesn't do it in anger and in just harshness to destroy us. He does it to chip away that hardness that's not like Jesus. So God's word is a hammer. Is not my word like a hammer, the Lord says, that breaks the rock in pieces. The Lord calls us to be tenderhearted like he is. And he can give us a tender heart, but we must be willing to say, Lord, your words are life to me. Come and break up that hardness. Break up that fallow ground and turn it over. Break away the harshness and the hardness and give me a tender heart like you. So God's word is a hammer. And then God's word is a light. When we make our confession, let's say it together here at Psalms 119, verse 105. It says, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So your word, this is my little flashlight, okay, as if y'all can see. Now, that's not very, can y'all see that? I don't know if you, okay. All right, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And light does a couple of good activities. Number one is it will guide us. We need the truth of God's word, first of all, to guide us to Jesus. I mean the real Jesus, the Jesus of the Bible. To guide us to God and to guide us to the Lord and to guide us to truth. The Bible says, send out your light and truth and let them bring me to your holy hill. So we need the word of God to guide us. But that same psalm, Psalms 119 and verse 130 says, the entrance of your word gives light. It gives understanding or discernment to the simple. So if we have a tendency, we just believe the first thing we hear, or it's something we want to hear, or we need discernment. We need the wisdom of God to guide us and to look in and to search. So the entrance of your word gives light. So it brings revelation. Yes, it will guide us. And Lord knows we need guidance in our day, don't we? But we also need discernment. We need the word of God to come and guide us. And if you think about Remember, what kind of, they didn't have these kind of lamps back in the Bible days, did they? These lights. Do you know what it was? It was the little oil lamp. Now, we have a couple of those that we have bought when we were in a little clay, made out of little clay oil lamps, and you put a wick and the oil in there and light it. And so I know God's word can give us long-range direction too, but we walk it out day by day, don't we? Your word is a lamp to my feet. And I just believe that as we walk in obedience to the light we have, then God gives more light for the next step and the next step. But if we don't receive his word that way, and we don't like that one, if we step out of his will, then we're kind of stepping, I'm not saying you're not a believer, but we're stepping into some darkness, and we're not going to have the same revelation to guide us. And brothers and sisters, we need the word of God to guide us in our daily decisions. Not just for, you know, one big monumental decision. We need his light to guide us and give us revelation in our daily decisions, because it is our daily decisions that will determine the blessings or consequences we experience. I will say that one again, all right? It is our daily decisions that determine the blessings we experience or the consequences we experience. That's something so important about choices and decisions, is that when we make a choice, when we make a decision, we're choosing the fruit that's going to follow that decision too. So, Lord, your words are life to me. If you believe, would you say it with me? Lord, your words are life to me. And Lord knows we are in a day of rampant deception, and we need wisdom and discernment from the light of God's word and truth to lead us and to guide us. And then third, if you're in John, would you turn with me to James chapter 1? James chapter 1. I'd like you to see these few verses here. James chapter 1. The third item that Scripture compares itself to is a mirror. A mirror. James chapter 1, verse 22, the Bible says this. I know many of us are familiar with this particular verse, James 1, 22. If you're there, would you say, I'm there? Okay. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets. What kind of man? That stood out to me, this phrase here. Let me look at that again. It says, he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. Not just how his hair looked or her makeup. What kind of man he was. There's something deeper there in the word of God that will show us, but it reveals our true condition like a mirror. And then he goes on, he says this in that next verse. This is verse 25. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty, or the law that brings freedom, and continues in it. Would you say continues in it? And is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This one will be what? This one will be blessed in what he does. Let's think about this a moment, all right? Think about all the places we have mirrors and how often we use them, all right? How many of you would say, we have a mirror in our bathroom? Because that's a good place. A lot of us, we've got mirror in the bathroom because, you got to fix your hair or you brush your teeth or whatever it may be, all right? Some of us probably have mirrors in our bedroom. And it could be, you have furniture that has, like, drawers. You may keep clothing or, earrings or whatever it is in there, and some of you might have a mirror on top of the furniture like that. How many of you have that kind of a mirror? Any of? A number of us? All right. How about this one? Let me think. Here we go. How about, if that's not enough, on the back of a closet or on a stand, kind of like maybe in an oval shape, you got the... or the Hulkamania, or whatever y'all do in the mirrors. How many of you have those kind of, like, full-length mirror, they call them? And if that's not enough, you get in your car, on your truck, or your vehicle, and you pull the visor down, and how many of you have a mirror in your, all right? So we've already looked at ourselves 50 times this morning already, and I'll take a chance on this one. Does anyone have one of those little compact mirrors, if the others aren't enough? And I would say ladies might be a little bit more to carry these just because you're more typical to carry something like a purse, something may have in. Would anyone happen to have one on you this morning, one of the little compacts? All right, a few of you. Would one of you be willing to let me borrow it for a moment? I'll try not. What's that? Make a deal. No. Well, what do you want me to give them? What's that? Give you the hammer? Could you trade a hammer for you? All right, that's fine. Thank you. Thank you. See, that's why I didn't bring a mirror with me, because I figured someone would have a mirror. Now, God's word is a hammer, a light, and a mirror. And we use the mirror to check out our appearance, our hair, you know, whatever it may be. God's not overly concerned about our outward appearance. There's a song, a little chorus we sing that says, "You search much deeper within. From the way things appear, you're looking into my heart." See, the mirror of God's word will reveal our heart. It will reveal our true condition. The mirror of God's word, the Bible says that the word of God is a discerner of the thoughts and very intentions of our heart. It will reveal us to us. It reveals our motives. Now, if we look in the mirror and we don't like what we see, don't get mad at the mirror. Just like God's word, and I'll give this back after the message, okay? Just like God's word, when we look into the mirror of the word, if it's something we don't like, don't get mad at the mirror. Why would God reveal our condition to us? Because in love, he wants to draw us. Because he says, "I'm showing you this area of your life." Well, in fact, the mirror does both. It'll show us areas that are like Jesus, but it'll also show us areas that are not like Jesus. And in those areas, God will show us so that we are drawn to him for grace to help us get it right. Don't get mad at the mirror if you got some, you know, green between your teeth. Go ahead and get your floss and get it out. If you got something in your heart, you got something in your mind or whatever it may be, don't get mad at the mirror. Go ahead and use the word and say, "Lord, your words are life to me. Cleanse me, help me," and come to the throne of grace to find grace to help in time of need and to be more like Jesus. So we look into the word to receive. And this scripture here, if you notice the contrast, James chapter 1, where it says again in verse 24, he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets. That phrase, "immediately forgets," is in contrast to the next phrase there where it says he looks and continues in it. Looks and continues. That word "looks" actually means look intently. Some of you remember when Jesus came back to life from the dead and Peter and John ran to the tomb, and John ran faster than Peter. He got there first. Here's what the Bible says he did. He stooped down and looked into. That's the same exact word that James used to say looks into the perfect law of liberty. Look into that word that gives you freedom and continue in it. And we stoop down, take a minute, take some time, and look into that word and receive. Look into the mirror and receive the truth that it's bringing into you. Receive, let it soften your heart. Let it bring light and revelation and understanding, and it'll show you your need. Just think about this a second. How often do we hear and forget, though? How often do we read and forget? Please just think about it. I'm not asking this to condemn anyone. Last week, I shared a message on why did God give us his word. Try to think what you can remember from that. It can be hard. It's just human nature. On Wednesday nights, if I were to ask, maybe I could ask a few people from the Zoom meeting, do you remember what we talked about Wednesday, where we were in the scripture, or even yesterday at the breakfast? And there may be a little more tendency, but here's why. Because there's discussion, and we're talking about it, and we're sharing. So it's like we're looking in the mirror and talking about it, and it helps us to remember. And that goes into the fourth illustration. So God's word is a hammer, a light, a mirror, and a seed. God's word is a seed. And that's what Jesus says in Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, beginning in verse 11, the Bible says this. Jesus speaking. He told a story about the farmer planting seed. And he said, this parable is this. The seed is the word of God. The seed is the word of God. And I tried to find a seed. You know, seeds are small. Tried to find one that was big enough for y'all to see here. I guess y'all can see that somewhat, right? You can't even tell what that is, can you? Or do you? That's very good. Did y'all hear that? It's an avocado seed. Avocado. But that was a little small avocado. Kim, I took one of your avocados. It's a seed, and the word of God, that truth is like a seed. But see, that's where it's important for our heart to be open, because if we need, what godly fruit do you want more of in your life? It comes to us in seed form. And that seed needs to be planted and watered in our heart in good ground for it to bear fruit. That's what it says here. Jesus says later on in that same section, Luke chapter 8 and verse 15, but the ones that fell on good ground, would you say good ground? Are those who having heard the word with noble and good heart, they keep it and bear fruit with patience or with perseverance. So that seed needs to be watered in our hearts, planted and watered. Brother Mark, you talk about it often. I'm thinking about this now. I remember you telling me over the years that sometimes, you know, we would make CDs. Now they're online, but you would take a CD and listen to it during the week, and you would meditate on those scripture. You'd look at your notes and meditate on that scripture from the message that week, because you were watering that seed that was planted in your life. And that's what we all need to do. We hear the word, but then we can water it. We can water it by hearing it. We water it by meditating on it. We talk about it. We think about it and how to live it out. That's watering it. And then that seed can get down in our heart, because Jesus said in that same parable, the devil will come immediately to try to steal that seed out of our heart. So we have to guard our heart carefully so that Satan doesn't snatch it away. Because if he takes that truth out of our heart, then we rob it of a chance to grow and bear fruit. So God's word is a hammer, a light, a mirror, and a seed. And seed takes time to grow. And I really sense that I needed to just emphasize this one point. Don't give up because you don't see immediate growth. Fruit takes time. I asked earlier, what fruit would you like to see? What godly fruit would you like to see more of in your life? More love, more peace, joy, patience, more self-control. To get that, we got to get that seed in our heart, water it, and let it grow. And I believe healing is a truth that we can get into our heart, not just for our physical body. I've used it that way. Thank God we can. But even wellness in our spirit, wellness in our memory, wellness in our emotions, our heart. We need that kind of healing and wholeness too. We need the wellness of Jesus. I'm talking about wholeness. And we can receive that truth in that way. Lord, your words are life to me. And we open the word of God. Lord, your words are life to me. And let that seed come into good ground and bear much fruit. So we water it by thinking on it. It shows we value that truth that we have received. Plant and water. Would you say that with me? Plant and water. And then finally, Ephesians chapter 6, God's word is a sword. It is a sword. And for anyone watching, this is play. It's fake. All right, it's plastic. It's not going to hurt anyone. It's just illustration. God's word is a hammer, a light, a mirror, a seed, and a sword. And the Bible says this in Ephesians 6, 16 and 17, talking about the whole armor of God. And take the helmet of salvation. I'm sorry, verse 16. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, the Rhema of God. Rhema means it's like a relevant now word. Jesus showed us how to do that. See, the hammer of the word will open our heart so that the light can come in and reveal ourselves in the mirror so we see the need. And then the word can get into our heart and bear fruit. But because Satan's going to try to get it out, and we are in a spiritual battle, not with people, spiritual battle, then we need the Word of God. We need the Rhema of God, which is living and powerful. We need the Word of God, a relevant, powerful Word of God to stand against the schemes of the devil to make us fall. So, Lord, your words are life to me. Yes, I need the fruit, but I also need the sword because I want to guard what I want to not only guard, I want to see your kingdom grow. And I want to proclaim your word. So when Jesus was tempted, what three words did he say every time? It is written. And when he was tempted with food, he quoted a verse not about money. He quoted a verse about food because that was relevant. That was the Rhema word. That was the sword of the Spirit. Now, when the devil comes against us, he's tempting us, and we can say, I resist you, devil. I resist you, devil. I resist you, devil. That accomplishes zero. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That'll get his attention. Oh, well, let me show you all this right here. Because it is written. See, the devil will try to misuse scripture on us to justify disobedience to God's will. And Jesus said, it is written again. Worship the Lord your God. Him only shall you serve. It is written. And then if you're the Son of God, go ahead and just jump off this building. Or, you know, all of those, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world. You don't have to go to the cross, just worship me. See, every time, it is written, it is written. That's how we resist the devil. And the Bible says if we resist the devil, he will what? He will flee from us, and that's exactly what he did. But we can't just, you know, come up with our own imaginary stuff. That's why, do you see how important it is we need to get the word in us? We need that word in our heart so that we can give it out so that we can speak it. We don't have to memorize the whole Bible, but we've got to know some truth, and we've got to learn the truth so that it gets in us. Lord, your words are life to me, and I speak a life-giving word against this situation of death that's trying to come against me. I speak your light-giving word against this darkness. So we speak that life-giving, relevant, powerful word, and that's how it becomes the sword of the Spirit to help us stand. I'll close with this. Brothers and sisters, we need a regular intake of God's word. And however you may choose to get that, I think we're getting some rain. Thank God for the shelter. It's over the years, I've observed and I've thought about people that I've really seen grow in the Lord. And one characteristic, this is, I'm speaking, you know, for myself, and maybe you can say the same. One characteristic that I've noticed, no one's perfect, but they've grown in the Lord over time, is that they prioritize God's word. I'm not saying that's the only quality, but that's a quality. God's word does become a priority. And it makes a difference, I can tell you. It makes a difference when we prioritize God's word for ourselves. That's why I said you can repeat it after me, and I appreciate that. But when you say it because you mean it, and I believe you do. Some of you online, I believe you do. You mean it, but we got to grow in it. Lord, your words are life to me because we are in a season, a generation that the word of God is not just neglected. In some cases, it's actually just hated, and it's forbidden. And to receive the life-giving truth of God's word that way. So I would just ask you this. It's not a textbook. It's life-giving revelation from a loving Father and Lord. And if we would receive it that way, I believe it'll make a difference. God's word is a hammer, a light, a mirror, a seed, and a sword. Lord, your words are life to me. Before I close in prayer, let me just ask you this. Is there maybe someone today, you don't have to go into any detail, but maybe one of these speaks more to you today than one of the others? Does the hammer or the light or the mirror or the seed or the sword, does one speak to you today more than maybe just kind of stands out to you? Would anyone just raise your hand? Would you mind telling me which one? The seed, okay, thank you. Anyone else, Brother Smitty? I think it's the mirror. The mirror, okay. All right, thank you. Anyone else? One stands out. The sword, okay, thank you. Okay, the light and?
The hammer.
The hammer, wow, okay. Did we cover them all? I think we did. Anyone else you just want to say which one? The mirror, okay. All right, well, thank God. I appreciate your honesty, appreciate your heart. Let's stand together and let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, your words are...